Welcome to this podcast about Sixes River and Cape Blanco in Oregon. The article is produced by Coastview, written by Dr. Carl Schock and read by Inara, an AI-generated voice. Scroll down to see pictures, maps, and dozens of embedded links to additional information. Please consider subscribing to enjoy more articles and podcasts at coastview.org. Sixes River drains a watershed of about 85,832 acres and flows generally west for about 31 miles through coastal forests in southwestern Oregon and enters the Pacific Ocean just north of Cape Blanco, about 19 miles south-southwest of Bandon and 8 miles north-northwest of Port Orford, Oregon. The watershed covers a rugged, remote part of the Klamath Mountains in the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. The headwaters are reached by a road running east along the river, while the 330-acre estuary is accessible via the state park at Cape Blanco, with the head of tide about 2.5 miles upstream from the river mouth. Accounts of the river's name vary. In 1851, it was known as Six Hiss River, named for the Chinook jargon word for friend. More likely, however, the name derives from the local Kwatami band called Sixes Tine, reputed to mean people by the far north country. Miners drawn to the Oregon Gold Rush probably adopted the spelling Sixes, which appears in records as early as 1855, and in an 1888 U.S. Post Office publication for a pioneer community. Situated at the northern edge of the Klamath Mountains province, the watershed features Cretaceous-age rocks from the California Coast Ranges and the Oregon Coast Range. These formations have been juxtaposed by plate tectonics, faulting, and deposition, with east-west faults roughly dividing the area. The southern half comprises older Klamath Mountains rocks and Cretaceous formations, namely the metamorphosed sedimentary and volcanic rocks of the Galice Formation, intruded by diorite that spawned local gold mineralization, and the Rocky Point and Humbug Mountain formations of sandstones, siltstones, and conglomerates. In contrast, the northern half is underlain by the Otter Point Formation, a sheared melange of mudstone, sandstone, volcanic rocks, chert, serpentinite, and blue schist comparable to Northern California's Franciscan complex. Weathering-resistant rocks here form scattered buttes and steep ridges, while overlying tertiary sediments yield gentle hill slopes. Oral histories claim Athapascans of southern Oregon and Northern California arrived by canoe from the north. Linguists date their migration at roughly 700 years ago, though archaeological evidence shows coastal human presence 8,000 years ago and inland occupation 11,000 years ago, likely by earlier peoples. The Athapascans settled in the valleys of the Rogue, Illinois, Coquille, and Umpqua rivers. They formed an extensive trade network and moved seasonally between temporary camps. Coastal tribes established summer fishing camps near river mouths to catch salmon and smelt, pick strawberries and hunt. Among the lower Rogue River Athapascan tribes are the Coquille, Shasta-Costa, and Tututni. The Tututni comprised several smaller bands, with the Kwatami, once based on the Sixes River, led in the mid-1800s by Principal Chief Hahultala, who claimed all the land from Two Mile Creek near Bandon to Humbug Mountain. European contact began in the late 1700s when British, Spanish, and American ships explored Oregon's coast. In spring 1792, some Tututni met British explorer Captain George Vancouver, and fur traders soon bought sea otter pelts from them. The arrival of settlers, however, introduced infectious diseases that decimated 75 to 90% of Oregon's native population. In the 1840s, overland wagon trains arrived, though the region remained relatively peaceful for a time. Many Athapascan villages, situated on prime river terraces, became targets for settlers and miners. By the 1850s, land clearing for farms had destroyed Tututni game trails and hunting grounds. Gold discovered in the Rogue River Valley near Port Orford further intensified resource competition, culminating in the Rogue River Wars of 1855 to 1856, In 1856, the Tututni and other Rogue River Indians were removed and forced onto the Coast Indian Reservation. Patrick Hughes and his wife, Jane O'Neill, arrived from California in 1856. Attracted by gold mining on the Sixes River, he ran a black sand operation before launching a dairy and livestock business in 1860 and acquiring 1,000 acres around Cape Blanco. Cape Blanco's lighthouse was built in 1870. One of Hughes's sons served as its early lightkeeper, linking the family to the region's maritime heritage. In 1898, he built a two-story house on an elevated terrace just south of the river with an ocean view. Known as the Hughes House, it still stands in Cape Blanco State Park as a notable work by builder Per Johan Lindbergh, a Swedish immigrant who settled in Port Orford in 1882. In 1885, Charles D. McFarlane, a Cape Cod cranberry grower, arrived in Oregon and introduced cultivation techniques from Massachusetts. McFarlane took pride in selecting superior berry strains for propagation, quickly finding success. North American cranberries are low creeping shrubs or vines that typically reach 7 feet in length and 2 to 8 inches in height with wiry stems and small evergreen leaves. Bee-pollinated flowers yield berries larger than the leaves, though their notable acidity often overwhelms the natural sweetness. Historically, cranberry beds were established in wetlands. Today, they are engineered in upland areas with shallow water tables, with topsoil scraped off to form dikes around the beds. On the southern Oregon coast, commercially cultivated cranberries account for about 7% of U.S. production. Oregon's cranberry industry now spans roughly 27,000 acres, mostly around the coastal city of Bandon and on the terraces of the Sixes River. McFarlane's innovative practices helped transform the region into a significant contributor to the national market. These ventures illustrate the diverse economic pursuits that shaped the southern Oregon coast in the mid to late 19th century, from mining and agriculture to maritime navigation and innovative horticulture. Thank you for listening. Read the article below for more information, including dozens of links to source material and references. Please subscribe to learn more about the West Coast of North America at coastview.org.